I am in the Fox Valley. This is College Avenue in downtown Appleton. Okay, John Gerdo, where is he? His bike is here, but he's not. But don't worry, I can handle this. I know the story of Appleton. This is the Fox River.
John, don't try this on your own,
okay.
Please.
At least I'm so glad you came, because that's all I knew is that we're on the Fox River.
This is Appleton. How did Appleton happen?
It's a town with a dual identity, John. It has always been both a college town and a manufacturing town, and you can see it right here.
Oh, good.
Off there to the right is Main Hall from Lawrence University, and right across the river from us is an old paper mill. So that goes way back to the beginning. The college actually began first. Back in 1846, there was a wealthy Bostonian named Amos Lawrence who decided to fund a Christian college out in the frontier. So his total investment was $10,000, just 10 grand.
Wow.
And that's around $300,000 today. And he promised the Wisconsin Methodists that he would give it to them if they raised the same amount. They did. So Lawrence was chartered in 1847. First classes are 1849, co-ed from the very start, and tuition was $3 a quarter.
That's amazing. So that's how Lawrence got its name. How did Appleton get its name?
Amos Lawrence married a woman named Sarah Appleton, who had a rich, old, single relative named Samuel Appleton. They wanted him to help fund the college, so they named the town after him. So it's all about naming rights.
Let's talk industry here.
That goes back to the start as well. Amos Lawrence was a businessman. He owned mills back east, and he knew the Fox River dropped about 40 feet here, and that meant lots of water power for all kinds of factories. So if you're going to start a college anyway, why not put it someplace where values are going to go way up? So that's just what happened.
Smart.
Within a few years, the Fox had been harnessed, and they were making everything from flour to leather to furniture. But the real specialty here was paper. You have all kinds of trees in the surrounding forest. You have water here for both processing pulp as well as for driving machinery. So the first paper mill opens back in 1853, and a lot more follow. The Fox Valley became Paper Valley, and Appleton was its center. So the city's known for a lot of things. Harry Houdini grew up here, hydroelectricity, but it was paper that really made it grow.
Huh.
So by 1900, there were roughly 15,000 people here, and they kept on coming.
Yeah. Who were they?
Early on, Yankees, like the folks who began Lawrence. Not much time had passed before you had Germans especially, but also Poles and Irish and Dutch people coming here for jobs in the mill. So that workforce kept growing, the college kept growing, and that kind of dual identity kept on getting stronger and stronger.
And is that still true?
To a large degree, the Lawrence University is still the centerpiece of town, and the main drag is still College Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence has around 1,500 students from all over the country, all over the world, and the specialty is liberal arts with a really good music conservatory. And tuition is no longer $3 a quarter.
Is it?
Paper's no longer the big deal it was. The mill across the way here is now apartments, but there's still a lot of paper made here in the valley, and the Paper Industry Hall of Fame is still right here in Appleton.
Population?
About 73,000, and still very heavily Germanic, but also about 6% Hmong and about 5% Latino.
Borders, boundaries?
Really irregular. 25 square miles on both sides of the Fox River and stretching north past Highway 41.
And the river is what runs through it, huh?
Runs right through it, yeah.
And were you biking? Because I found your bike, John.
I was on the Newberry Trail, and I'm going to head back there.
You are?
Yep.
Good. Thanks, John.
See you, John.
I love it. Gulfstream gave me a lift from Milwaukee. Where's my crew? Crew, how was the ride in the van? Let's talk about the history of Gulfstream.
Sure.
Gulfstream's home is Savannah, Georgia.
Yep.
And are you all over the United States?
Yeah, we are.
And where are they built?
The airplanes are built in Savannah, Georgia.
They are.
And what happens is, without an interior, without paint, they are flown to completion centers. Those green airplanes, they are just primered. That's where they come from the factory. And then we put the final coat on and we put the interiors in. And we are a completion center here as well as a service center.
What does that entail?
Well, service entails a lot of things. Could be anything from a tire change to a full-blown interior. Could be a big inspection, and could be a new paint job. Unlike cars, where you buy a new car or a used car, you keep it the same color.
Yeah.
People buy a new airplane, they want to put their company logo, their company colors, their brand on that airplane. 21 coats of clear, and then buff to a high shine, and they will change the interior floor plan, the interior color, and the exterior color palette as well to match their company.
Workforce-wise, how many people are here?
We've got about 800 people here, and they range anywhere from mechanics to furniture builders.
What was your background?
I made baby furniture.
You made baby furniture?
Yes.
To engineers, we have installers, we have troubleshooters, we have people specialized in avionics. These are tools, after all.
Yeah.
And so to make these tools work for our customers, they need to be out flying. They can't fly and make the company's money if they're sitting in our shops.
And Gulfstream, it's a good airplane, huh?
It's a great airplane.
Yeah.
It's the greatest airplane.
Can you imagine this? You know, I would love to at least one time travel like this. Does anybody have a friend that I can call?
In Superior, Wisconsin, there is a granary called the Globe Elevator, built in 1887.
Okay.
This was an 8-story wall. We are making a coffee table top.
Exactly what is this?
These are floor joists from an old barn.
We do reclaimed furniture and flooring primarily.
These guys are actually making the tables.
We make it, we sell it, and it's all reclaimed material. Primarily our sources are farms and factories. Basically, it's an old factory maple floor. We've sanded it in a way that it feels pretty silky smooth.
Sure does.
Really well sealed. And again, maple is one of the hardest woods ever, so it's gonna, you know, be bomb-proof. There's nothing your child or your coworker is gonna do that's gonna change the look of this table.
What
so
are these?
This is fun. This is old white oak that was made into tabletops. So.
Do you know where it came from?
Barn. Hey, Jeff.
Oh, there's Jeff.
This is what it was made out of.
Oh, okay, all right.
And where'd you find this?
This is from Hartford, Wisconsin.
From Hartford?
Yep. About a month ago, the barn was taken down.
About 20 years ago, my husband and I decided, let's make stuff and see if people buy it. And we had a bit of luck. We started a little business, and the little business grew. And kind of this is where we've landed.
This is the kind of place I love to come to, and the kind of place I hate to come to. I hate to come here. Why? Because it's like, oh, here's my credit card. Go ahead.
The first fragrance that I ever created was Citrus Squeeze.
You've been in the candle business and soap business for 14 years?
Yes.
How did that start?
Long time. Somebody got me a candle making kit for a gift, and I sold at farmers markets and craft shows. Now we're gonna go ahead and add the fragrance in. I love science and chemistry, and I just did a lot of studying and a lot of trial and error. This is Beach House, and so I've learned over the years, and we take good notes. And we do everything by hand.
And who develops scents?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
And how many flavors do you have?
Oh gosh, we have about 45 year-round fragrances.
Yeah.
And then we have another 18 that we come out with for the fall and winter. And then we have a whole line of candles for men called the Mandel, Hickory Smoked Bacon.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. These are our Eco Beans. It's a wax melt, and you put it in a plug-in melter that heats it up so that you can have the fragrance in the room without having to worry about a candle flames. And we made them look like soybeans because that's what all our wax is made out of.
All candles aren't made out of soy.
No.
Yours are.
Correct.
And why?
Soy is just a lot cleaner. It's a healthier option. Most candles are made from paraffin wax, and it's just not healthy when you burn it. And so we use 100% soy wax. All the soy is grown right here in the Midwest. Burns longer because it burns a lot cooler. So it's just a better, cleaner alternative.
So how old are you?
I'm 16. I just turned 16.
How did you get this idea?
It was my grandfather. It was actually my main influence.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is actually his shoeshine box that he made in high school shop class that he gave to me.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
That's
really
great.
Cool.
And is there a place that you usually set up?
Yeah, I set up at Bergstrom Enterprise Motor Cars, which is a Mercedes and BMW dealership.
That's smart.
Cars going in there. Yeah, it works out. The majority of my shoes are actually drop-offs.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
What do you plan on doing when you turn 70?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I want to keep this up, so we'll see how long this takes me, but I'd love to go into business school and maybe, like, continue on my entrepreneurial kind of ideas and stuff like that. Yeah.
Day and night.
There
isn't
you go,
that?
Yeah.
That looks great.
What goes bad on a violin that somebody has to come and find you?
There's repair of damage, and then just maintenance. A violin is like a car, and it's a fussy car. A sensitive player will feel when something's out of whack, either with their fingers or with their ears, they'll realize that something's wrong.
Are you a violin player as well?
I play the cello.
So you don't have to be a player to be able to repair one.
Some luthiers are not players at all.
Luthier?
A luthier is a craftsman who works on stringed instruments.
I love that you presumed I knew that.
Sorry.
I had no clue. I thought a Lutheran, I know some Lutherans.
It's an old French word, which originally meant maker of lutes.
Of lutes.
And specifically, I'm a violin luthier, and it cracked. There's
you can see
a couple
it.
Of cracks
here. And do you make your own brand of violin?
Not lately. I've made about 20 instruments from scratch. I just try to make the instrument sound its best and be the easiest to play.
And who's your client?
Lawrence University Conservatory of Music.
How often should they come see you?
Person who plays. I try to get people back for checkups every 6 months.
Every 6 months. You're like a dentist, aren't
you? Yeah.
We keep running into these all over town. They are poems that have been stamped into the sidewalk. It's called the Sidewalk Poetry Project. There's 100 of these all over Appleton. They're great. There's art on a traffic control box. There's murals on the back of buildings all over town. It's a concerted effort by Creative Downtown to have public art all over downtown Appleton, and they are doing a great job. And I love it. It's cool. Is this a private or a public college?
It's a private college.
And is it religiously?
No longer, but it was founded as a Methodist institution. But it's undergraduate only. A lot of times people hear Lawrence University and they think, oh, well, it's probably got a great grad program, right. It's got a great undergrad. But the thing that makes us a university is that we have two degree granting bodies here. There's the college that grants the Bachelor of Arts and the conservatory that grants the Bachelor of Music.
Oh, this is impressive.
It is. And about a quarter of our students are studying music and about three quarters are studying physics and French and anthropology and English and global studies. This building, named after a Lawrence grad who also happened to win the Nobel Prize for Chemistry in 2009.
Is there anything you can tell me that I'd be surprised at about this place?
We teach about 2,000 courses every year here, and 60% of those classes are one student working with one faculty.
That's amazing.
We're really designed to do one-on-one education.
There's no hiding in that class.
No.
Can you give us some stats about student body? Where are they
from?
Yeah,
sure. We're 1,500. Students come from all over the world. About a quarter of our students come from Wisconsin, another 20% or so from Illinois, Minnesota, California, New York, and then what would you expect the next one to be?
Iowa.
Close.
Ohio.
China,
that was my next guess.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I should have let you go.
China?
Yeah.
Do you know the history of this house?
Yes, we
can
do.
Can you tell us?
Sure, Gus Buchanan, he started Wireworks with his dad, Bill Buchanan. It took him about 2 to 3 years to build this. It was built in 25 to 26, and a lot of the stone has been imported, the slate roof has been imported from Europe, and a lot of detail.
Do you know what owner you guys are?
Third.
You're the third.
We've owned the house for 13 years, but we've lived here permanently for 8.
For 8.
Because we were overseas when we purchased the house.
Okay, introduce me to your dogs. Who do we have here? And you're raising your 3 kids here.
That's right, yeah.
I love the fact that when we drove up, we were in the front of your house, and it was city. It was very urban. Do you come down here in the winter at all?
Yeah. So back here, you don't realize that you're only about 10 minutes from downtown. And we love it here because the restaurants, and we've got the music, we've got everything we want in here.
Do you water ski here too?
Yeah,
you
and do? Wakeboard. And
wakeboard.
Tubing and stuff, yeah.
And it's nice because there's not too many boats out here.
So there aren't?
Yeah, there aren't. It's really quiet. So usually we're the only ones out here on the river.
Is that right?
Yeah.
On the Fox River, I'm a lock tender today. Hey, Luke, are you ready? Let's do it. Call the doctor.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. It's time to open the door.
We used to transport goods on the rivers into Wisconsin. So the Fox River was the main highway for transporting all sorts of things. So any kind of goods that were going to market. The problem is, in so many of these places on the rivers, it drops in elevation. So what would happen in the 1800s is people had to unload the barge, manually portage the goods across and down the river. And that kind of took a lot of time and was a pain.
Yeah.
So in the 1830s, a bunch of people said, hey, why don't we build a system of locks? And they did. In the 39-mile stretch of the lock system, it drops in elevation equivalent to the height of Niagara Falls.
That's not true.
Yes, it is true. Scout's honor.
Through Appleton, there are 4 locks. Each lock has a lift of approximately 10 feet.
10 feet.
So that means through the city of Appleton, the river actually drops over 40 feet.
Wow.
You could really call this Wisconsin's first public works project.
Wisconsin became a state in what, 1848? This project began in 1850, and it went forward from there.
This is the only fully restored hand-operated lock system in the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
How great.
It's totally cool.
And here we are.
It's totally living history.
It's pretty fascinating. So, you know, we preserve this piece of history.
We start out at Lady Shoes.
At Lady Shoes.
And then we go up to Housewares.
Uh-huh. And then where?
And then we go up to Menswear.
And here comes Santa Claus.
I'm on the banks of the Fox River in front of this great house. In 1882, it was owned by a man named Henry James Rogers, who owned a paper mill on the river. And he powered that paper mill by hydroelectric power, and he decided to power his house by that as well. So this is the first house in the world powered by hydroelectric power, right here in Appleton.
Let's talk about this building.
Sure. The building was a Masonic temple. It was built in 1924, and the Masons were here until 1985, when the Outagamie County Historical Society took over, and we became a museum.
As we walked in, there's an exhibition of what's it called, the Asylum?
Asylum Out of the Shadows.
And those are rotating exhibits, or that's something that's not permanent, like this on the second floor?
Yeah, we get a lot of tourists because of Houdini.
Talk about it. Talk about this exhibition and talk about Houdini for a bit.
Sure. Well, Harry Houdini told a lot of lies about himself.
We did.
He did. He told people he was born in Appleton, but that is not true. He was actually born in Budapest, Hungary in 1874. His father was the city's first rabbi, actually. This is a straitjacket. He got interested in magic as a teenager and started performing with a friend and then eventually his brother, Theodore, who became a magician as well.
And he's known for what tricks?
He's known for quite a few, but especially the escape tricks. So he became more of an escape artist than a magician.
Can I get a Diet Coke?
Ta-da!
I always say that the magic is that when it's done very well, it seems like magic. You know, it's a fun place to bring your family, fun for all ages.
Okay, what's the trick? I have the key and I still can't get out.
So Xavier, home of the Hawks,
right.
Division III,
2016-17 state champion. The last time they won a state championship was during the WISA years, 1995. 2016-17, they're 28-0.
And no one beat them.
Nobody beat them. Matt Klarner's been their head coach now 7 years. He said, look, the student body, the city, the administration, everybody is involved. Hardworking kids that come from hardworking families, and we get it done. Also, I love this facility. The Torchy Clark Gymnasium. This gym is one of my favorites. When it's full, it's as close to Indiana basketball as you're gonna find. Think of the movie Hoosiers. Think about a whole town shutting down, coming and watch that team play.
That's what this
Everybody
like.
Behind it, their fan base is great, the parents are great, and I just love it. And they're playing Xavier basketball the way they think it should be played. Got that?
See this right here? This will tell you that you're standing in front of something historic on the Foxtrot Trail, 2.2 miles downtown Appleton. Follow the blue print. If you're an affiliate of the Brewers, like, how does that work? Is this a farm league? Is this, what happens?
Yeah, it's the lowest level of full season baseball that's affiliated with Major League Baseball. So all these guys, all these players are being paid by the Milwaukee Brewers organization.
Okay.
They are in a farm system and chasing that carrot to try to get to higher levels of baseball within the Brewers organization. Average age for the league is about 22 years old, and that's what makes this job very unique. Each year, we have a 25-man roster. It's almost completely different every season. And a lot of times during our 140-game schedule throughout the summer, a lot of these guys will move up or down. And contrary to popular belief, they don't make a ton of money. Usually, most of them sign for a few thousand dollars. And then they have host families here in town, people that want to help these young men, give them a place to live, and then help with transportation. But it really is become a community relationship where these players aren't only performing for themselves and trying to get to the big leagues with the Milwaukee Brewers, but also are playing for the community because they help the kids out.
Right.
They come cooked, wrapped in foil, and then we put them in a sandwich bag.
Brazuca, fire that thing.
Can you talk about a fan's experience here? What's an evening with you guys?
The community comes out and supports us, and we always know we're going to play in front of a supportive, excited crowd. They provide an affordable family entertainment environment.
Yeah. Let go of my Brower. Ready?
We're on the corner of Wisconsin Avenue and Richmond, and there's something else you did not know about me. For a moment in my life, you know what I did? I did Gorilla Grams. It's the gorilla. Yeah. And he plays air guitar. And can I tell you really well? Look at the guy. It's called Balloon Magic. It's here at Appleton, and that's the gorilla. Good job. Good strong handshake. Cleo's.
I remember this place.
It was while I was still drinking in like the 80s, and I was there in July, shea carpeting everywhere. And when I left, I could have sworn it was Christmas. It's a good thing I don't drink anymore.
This is a sword, okay?
Okay.
And this was pretty much the weapon of the era from about the 800s on, okay? This is what's called a longsword. If you're further away from me and we're fighting, I have more time to act and more time to react.
On guard, Shield Howe, cut!
It's called the Wisconsin Historical Fencing Association. What exactly is it?
So what we're practicing, John, is what's called HEMA, Historical European Martial Arts. We are exploring the medieval and Renaissance martial arts of Europe from about 1100 till about 1600. Back then, Europe had martial arts masters, masters of defense, which went around and taught people how to protect themselves.
Oh!
No. Once the Europeans developed the firearm, they just kind of thought, you know, forget about learning all these martial arts. We'll just, you know, use the firearms instead. It's much simpler, right? This book is from 1570. So, but there's whole history that's left behind that we're now kind of digging up, literally. And we're looking at it, and we're recreating it. We're really about, like, what were they fighting? How were they fighting? How were they using these swords?
This is Katie Lehman. She is the current reigning women's longsword champ.
All across Europe and the United States, there are tournaments popping up.
Where was the person from who you beat? Do you remember?
I believe she's from Sweden.
From Sweden?
Yes.
That's wild.
It was exciting. It felt good.
Talk about this hotel.
It was an independent hotel, Paper Valley Hotel, from 1982 till 2000. Then in October of 2000, we franchised with the Radisson brand. 400 guest rooms, five food and beverage outlets, and about 40,000 square feet of meeting space.
And if you ask anybody about Appleton, this is what they talk about?
They do.
They talk about this restaurant as well.
This restaurant has been very, very successful. It's really changed the dining scene in Appleton.
So this is what you do at every table?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
It opened when?
July of 2000.
Has it changed much since you opened in 2000, you said?
Yeah, no. Yeah. It has not changed much.
Because you better not.
Right, exactly. You don't mess with something that's working, right? I mean, it's been a really good restaurant for us. The quality of meat, we've always maintained. The memorabilia, the ambiance, we've really kept it the same. The restaurant is legendary. So this is
where it is.
50% museum, 50% great restaurant.
Yeah.
This is our signature strawberry shortcake.
It's beyond impressive, you realize it.
It's amazing. There's over 400 pieces of Lombardi memorabilia, unique photographs. A lot of things from the family themselves are right here in the restaurant. I know there's more Lombardi memorabilia here than you would see at Green Bay in the Packer Hall of Fame or in Canton at the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Look at this. The Lombardi Trophy. Replica, only replica, created by Tiffany's of the 1967 trophy. Look at that thing. I found one on eBay for $40, but it's not the same.
Here, take a look at this. Macaroni and cheese on a sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Are these Southern recipes?
They started out as Southern, and then we put our crazy twist on them, so.
See, my mom just boiled our dinners. We had the least tasting food ever.
I come from a big family. It was 8 of us total, and my mother literally cooked every single day.
She did.
And this is how she cooked.
Our famous gumbo, sausage, chicken, okra.
So I just grew up cooking, you know, and being around a lot of cooking.
And 5 years ago, you said, this is what I'm gonna do?
Yeah.
What do people come in to eat?
People love our chicken. We have this sandwich we call the Big Jess, and it's like a big, huge smoked sausage, and we top it with pulled pork and coleslaw and then barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm. So it's the food you were raised with? It's the music you were raised with? This is like your living room, isn't it?
Yes, honestly, yes. All we're missing is a big floor model TV.
Is that right? If you were to come in, what would you eat?
I'm personally on the frog leg kick right now.
Frog legs. How are frog legs prepared?
We deep fry them. We batter them and deep fry them.
How fitting that we are ending the episode walking over the Fox River. If the Fox Valley were a state, Appleton would be its capital. Great week in Appleton.
You have 30 seconds to tell us why Appleton, Wisconsin is the best place in the world to live, work, and play. And Mayor Tim, you can start right now.
Awesome. You know, John, there's great cities all over this state, and every mayor is going to tell you why their city's the best.
Yeah.
We like to let other people do our talking for us. Just last week, we were named the second fittest city in the country. We've had other publications list us as top 10 place to raise children, one of the top 10 places to build your dream home. Wow. Our healthcare system, number 5 in the country. Our performing arts center is one of the top 10 in the country. Money Magazine last year listed us 24th best place to live in the country. And that list goes on and on and on.
3, 2, 1. Thanks, Mayor.
Apparently, this is something to do with, like, the German kind of ethos, right? The German idea.
It's like the hidden pickle on the Christmas tree.
Exactly. There's something going on here.
This is 100 East. This is 100 West.
No, the other way around. That's West.
That's East.
That's East. That's East. That's East. That's 100 East.
That's East.
I don't want to play this game anymore. And that's North? It takes about... Is it me? This season of Around the Corner with John McGivern would not be possible without the generous financial support of the following underwriters.
The Greater Milwaukee Foundation's Ernest C. and Florence M. Shockey Fund. And by the David A. and Nancy E. Putz Fund. The Greater Milwaukee Foundation, inspiring philanthropy, serving donors, and strengthening communities now and for the future. And by...
What Goodwill can do with your donations is pretty amazing.
And by...
The We Energies Foundation is proud to support Milwaukee PBS. Together, we create a brighter future for the communities we serve.